You're listening to Beyond Athletic, episode 45.
There's just always something else I'm trying to look to do to improve my mental, physical, or just making sure I'm happy overseas, because, you know, it can be very difficult and very lonely at times.
You might be smarter, your daddy might own a company, but you will not outwork me.
This one right here is for the people.
I'm your host, Ryan J. Owens, current pro athlete, entrepreneur, and former USA national team volleyball player. I will not be defined by my athleticism alone, but I've learned how to leverage it to stay passionate about it and prepare for life. That's why the Beyond Athletic podcast was born. I'll bring you case studies of current and former elite athletes making it happen in life, as well as tips and lessons from top sources in sports, nutrition, fitness, entrepreneurship, and more. I'm here to tell you that you are beyond athletic. Hello, hello again. It's been so long. Whole summer has passed by. Beyond Athletic definitely is one of the most important things to me. And I gotta say that this is a great reflection of how life can just kind of sweep you away. And this summer was filled with different challenges, let's say, and I'm happy to say that I've overcome most of them. And right now I'm in the process of really pushing to change the format and my methods, because I've learned some things just are not working. So it's time to pivot. And I'm relaunching this with 12 new episodes that will be coming over the next 6 to 8 weeks, definitely with some great guests. Some of them are in basketball. Most of them are in volleyball. So prepare your basketball friends to listen in. But once again, this is always for any and all athletes to pull out lessons from all of our experiences and to just bring on coaches that can give us advice on just how to be a better athlete. You know, it doesn't matter the sport you're in. Learning from coaches is the same across the board, because being open to and receptive to what they have to say and their coaching methods and their insights into what works well for them or what has they've seen work well for athletes in general really will just help us all build up this idea of, okay, how can we get better, not just in our sport, but how can we, from our sport, I mean, but how can we pull lessons in from other areas of our life and apply them everywhere that it's possible? So with the relaunch, I'm starting off with two USA national team liberos for volleyball. The first guest is going to be Dustin Watton, and today you're going to hear from him. Next week up is Nicole Davis, an Olympian. And I'm just proud to say that both of these people are friends. I've trained with both of them in the gym. And today's episode with Dustin is fantastic. Dustin's the child of two teachers. And you can tell by just the way he interacts with everyone on his platforms of social media, whether it's Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook. He's just always giving. And there's a parallel that I made last week when we had him on the show to talk about this episode launch. And that is that one of the things I've been learning through entrepreneurship is you always have to be willing to give great content away, to educate people and share your knowledge. Of course, you can package everything together and charge for it. So like, for instance, if you're a volleyball player or an athlete of any sport, you could easily be giving back to the community by trying to, for instance, give lessons away. Like say, hey, I'm going to hold a clinic today for spiking, and because that's what I do best. Or I'm going to hold a clinic today for, you know, 3-point shooting or drop shots in tennis, whatever it is, whatever your specialty is, you could say, I'm going to hold this clinic. I'm inviting everybody to come, anyone interested in getting better. And you give that free clinic. And guaranteed, you're going to get a lot of interest from that community of people who showed up and their friends and family through word of mouth that, hey, so-and-so just gave this awesome clinic that was really helpful. They probably are giving coaching. You should hit them up. And this is one of those things that when athletes are trying to promote themselves, Dustin did this so well. He was always in the gym training. We would have two, sometimes three trainings a day with the national team. And Dustin was always down on the days where our bodies could handle it to get in there. And he'd hit up anybody on the national team. Hey, if you guys want to come in, I'm going to be doing some reception, working on some defense, some setting, whatever you want to do. Let's try and get in the gym for, you know, 30, 45, an hour, maybe more. And that was seen, you know? So basically he was giving away his skills, his time to help other athletes. And in return, he also got help because coaches picked up on that. Athletes talked about that. And for sure, when a coach is looking for a dedicated player, a player who's going to give everything to the team, they're going to look for somebody like Dustin Wan. So I hope you enjoyed this episode today. I know that was a very long intro and a very long just spiel about everything, but getting back into Beyond Athletic, I just want you guys to know that it's really hard to not only like find the interviewees, but to set up times to interview them when I'm trying to train and run a business and just have my personal life be a, I don't even know what you would call it, a papa to my dog. It's really hard to manage time, and I'm learning a lot while I'm doing these. And I just hope that if you guys ever have anything that you want to share, whether it's topics you're interested in, guests that you're interested in, formats that you think would be interesting because you listen to other podcasts, I am totally open to suggestions. I'm not going to be able to implement everything, but definitely I'm interested in it. So, and then also anyone looking to help out, whether it's, you know, going through the shows before I actually launch them and helping me put the blogs up, or it's just cross-posting, you know, posting them to your platform, maybe being a guest blogger on beyondathletic.com, hit me up, okay? You can message me on Facebook at Beyond Athletic. You can message me on Twitter, Instagram, wherever. So without any further ado, today's guest, Dustin Wan.
I want to welcome you to the show, bud. How are you?
I'm cold. I need to get back to California.
Where are you?
But no, other than that, I'm really well.
You need to get back to California. Really well. Okay, I see. Where are you exactly in France?
I'm in Nancy, France. It's in the Lorraine region, kind of northeast.
There you go. We gotta give people some geographical positioning because you know a lot of people.
Not a lot of sun. It's cold. It's rainy. But it's a beautiful city.
Yeah. Well, I'm really happy that you came on. I've been trying to get you to come on, obviously, ever since I knew I was going to launch the podcast. A big reason for that is because when we first met at Team USA, I just remember thinking, this guy is always smiling. This guy is always working. And I loved it. I mean, you could feed off your energy. You always were positive and you were always working your butt off. And when things, you know, when you had all these liberos in front of you and all these things, you never gave up. You always just kept putting in the work. And you were also, you know, selfless. I like that a lot about you, and I really appreciate that. But to get into your story, and let's not talk too much about how we met, but you were a Final Four participant, like we said, at Long Beach State during your collegiate career. You went on to the national team. You've played pro indoor for how many years now?
Shoot, I think this is my sixth year. Six years.
Is it? Wow. I can still remember back to the time when you were asking me about going pro and et cetera, et cetera. And was it Finland was the first one, right?
You helped me write that contract up, so thanks.
It's been so long. And the last little bit about you before I'm going to let you dive into who you really are is that you're a vegan athlete. And I think this is a very important distinction to make and something to bring up because some people are saying, you know, it's a trend or it's a this or that. But I give a lot of respect to anyone who can stick to something and be committed 100% and not only make it work, but really thrive in it. I mean, I know that you've been doing things and you're posting all this stuff. We had a challenge for the Athlete Blab event that was just a few days ago. And if anybody wants to check that out, it'll be linked up in the show notes, but you could type hashtag Athlete Blab, B-L-A-B, and you'll see tons of different topics. There were 10 different topics. Dustin was talking a little bit in the nutrition one because I wanted to bring him on because he's a vegan athlete. And I thought, this is so cool. It would be rad to have him on. It was a little rushed, yeah, right? But he made it work. So I want you to take people back, okay? Take people back to your childhood. Paint a picture for them, where you grew up, how you grew up, your family size, what kind of school you went to, what sports you played, and then how you got into volleyball. And then stop it there, and I'll take it from
there.
Yeah,
I grew up in Long Beach, California. Like you said, a lot of people say this too. I smile a lot, and you know, I think I owe it to my parents. My mom's a first grade teacher, so always really positive, always finding different solutions, and that helped me a lot with my athletic career. But when I was young, my only goal was I wanted to play soccer in college. I loved it, and I just had this weird mindset where I believe that if I practiced enough, like, I could do it. Like, why not me? So I really loved soccer and went after it, got in club. And then my club eventually combined with another team and I was left off the team. And that year I was in high school. My dad had actually started the program in my high school, and he's always wanted me to play, but I never wanted to play. It was a girls' sport. And so my dad was still teaching at this school and I was a freshman. And the varsity coach at the time needed a freshman coach. And so he asked my dad and he asked me, and I happened to have a couple of friends that were going to play for the team. And so I did it. And my dad has always been very supportive, but he was very tough on me because I was his son, and he wanted me, you know, to really work hard and to not show any favoritism. And yeah, I played it. We did pretty well. And I don't think I've told many people the story, but that year after high school, I tried out for a club team and I made it. And unlike soccer, it's very difficult to make a club team. I made this volleyball team and I was so proud of myself. And then after that, I figured out we're going to nationals. I was like, wow, I'm so good. I'm like the best player in the world. You know, I made a club team, I'm going to nationals. My team went to nationals and we played in not the open division, but the club division. And we did really bad. We actually got last in the tournament. The last game, we lost to a team from Maryland. And I had a pretty bad attitude. I was kind of developing a little ego, and I got benched. And it was kind of a turning point. It's like, you know, what am I going to do? Like, this is not how I want to be. I don't want to have this bad attitude, and I don't like losing. And so, like my mom always does for first grade children, she had to find a solution. And so my solution was to play beach every day. I wake up. My dad was a teacher, like I said. So his summers were free. Go to the beach, play beach all day. Come home late at night. My brother, who's 4 years younger than me, I taught him how to pepper. When he wasn't playing with me, I would serve the balls off the roof and pass. When it got too dark to do that, I would go inside. I drew bullseyes on pieces of paper and put them up in my room. Much to my parents' dismay, I would set the ball, pass the ball to the bullseye. And I was just, I don't know, I just was totally invested in just pushing myself. And I go out to the beach and my dad and I would lose to all these old guys. We lose to guys playing with neon balls. And we just lose over and over and over until I started figuring out I got a little better with my cutty, got a little better on defense. Instead of not going for balls, I would go for balls all the time. And those turned into digs. And it was just this grind, but it wasn't a grind because I loved it. And I was so lucky to have this beginning because I was just always growing. Like every day I was growing. It didn't really matter where I started because I kept on growing. After that, I made a better club team. In the spring, I decided I wanted to play for another club team. Made one of the best club teams in the area. And in 1 year, I went from getting last place to a bronze medal in the open division. And from there, I kept on playing beach. I got really passionate about it. Just beat everyone. I killed everyone at beach. There's only a couple of guys. There's only one team that was pretty good and we could compete with, but I just loved it. I love competing. I love playing. I love working. Same thing. Go pepper with my brother. My brother would start coming to the beach to play with him. Kind of kept on playing the club team. Kept on winning. And then was finally able to live my dream, which was to be a college athlete. Even though I wanted to start out soccer, it became volleyball, and I was able to walk on to Long Beach State, which was my local school, and that was my dream. After that, I really didn't even have any goals. I was just so happy to be a college athlete, but nothing really changed. It was still the pursuit of pushing myself to be the best I could be, even though there wasn't a goal of starting. It was just to help the team and to be the best player I could be. That was my childhood, and it kind of stopped at Long Beach State, and that began a new chapter.
Yeah, thanks for that, man. That's a cool story. I'm glad you shared it. We all have our little stories, you know, of how we got into this sport, and I think it's always interesting to hear other people's beginning stories, their origin stories. So before we get started, because, I mean, you talked already about some, you know, turning points and some, let's say, walls that you came across, and you had to pivot, you know, you had to change direction. Like, you had to change your mindset, for instance, when you got benched on a club team, when you lost to a team from Maryland, which is an awful state for volleyball, for sure. And you know, some other times. So what I'd like to do is, let's start things off by giving like a personal quote or a motto that you believe in, just so people can get an idea of where your head's at, where your heart's at, where your mind's at these days.
Yeah. You know, I think in my own head, I might've made this up, or I might've read it somewhere, but something I like to share a lot on Instagram when I put video clips up is, do it with passion or not at all. Because I believe if you're going to do something, just to go fully in it. And this is almost a downside to me too, because there's some things in life where I don't want to do, and I just like, I'm out, you know, but I believe if you're going to do something and you really want to be the best, and you got to go all in. You got to just go all in. And that's, I think I've excelled at that, because I'm not really a good athlete. I've never been the best volleyball player, but I'm just always committed to pushing myself and to compete and to work with passion. And when you do something and you're passionate about it, it's not work. It's an enjoyment. And so when these lows come, which happen, this year for me has been a very difficult year. My team is 2-22 at the moment. It's the worst year, not even close, for my whole career. But when the lows come, you're able to push through, because anyone can play well or train when everything's going well. But when things are really going down, you're not feeling good, if you have that passion, you can still push through and get the most out of each day. So that's the one thing I like a lot, is you do it with passion or not at all.
I love that. And on that topic, let's hit up something that, you know, was a low for you. What was a struggle in this point of your whole life? You know, this could be sport or otherwise. What would you consider one of the biggest struggles that you had to overcome? And what was your takeaway from that?
Maybe even this year. This year has been very difficult. The team's been doing really bad in the practice. It's not a really good mood, and I really try to push and guys aren't really open to it. And just, I think you get stubborn sometimes, because if you change cultures and you go somewhere else or you join a different team, you know, there's going to be different mindsets, and usually you feel that yours is correct, and whether it's right or wrong, sometimes you just have to accept what is. And then once you're able to do this, it kind of frees your mind, instead of not accepting it and holding grudges, holding resentment. And this not only sticks with you in the short term, but in the long term, you go home and you're mad and you're angry. You go back the next day and you're still a little angry. But to accept these things and to let it happen and to worry about what you can control, even though you hear that a lot, but there's a lot of times this year I just come home so mad, so angry at the end of the games. I just can't believe it. But I finally hit a low where it's just like, all right, well, I can go home and I quit, or I just dig deeper and spoke with a couple people and I decided that, you know, I need to stay. I don't need to stay, but I want to stay. I want to fight it out. And I went home and I wrote down on a piece of paper somewhere around here who I am as a person, who I am as a player, how I want to play the game. and what can I do to achieve that? And usually when I'm overseas, I have a list of doing something every day, whether it's mental, reading, meditation, or I have a list of like 17 things. And usually I do 12, 13, 14 of them each day. And when I hit this low, I went back, I put like four more down, and I'm just like, you know, I'm going to hit these all day. I'm going to do all of them every single day. And I'm just going to completely go all in and see what happens. I just didn't want to give up. And when I hit that low, I just relinquished a lot of control I was trying to fight and take, and just worried about the things that I can control outside of volleyball. And I think from there, I've been able to free up my mind and enjoyed it much. I enjoy the season much more, even though the wins still haven't really came.
I think that's really interesting, what you mentioned there, because there's so many athletes, you know, that are trying to pursue their passion in their sport, right? And take it to whatever level it is that they want to take it to. Like you mentioned before, you didn't have really any aspirations for national team Olympics at that point in your life that you're talking about with the with college. Yet you were trying to be the best you could be, right? And on that path, I think it's so important that athletes, one of the reasons why I started Beyond Athletic is literally because we could really use a toolbox. So just leveraging other athletes' knowledge and experience and saying, hey, how do I optimize my efforts, right? And so here you are, Dustin Watton, 5-6 years into your pro career, where you had no idea you were ever going to be playing volleyball when you thought you were going to be playing soccer, you know? And here you are in one of the lowest points of your career in terms of like struggles, let's say, but you're also at the highest point because you've just elevated your mindset and your work ethic to a whole new plane. And how? The takeaway for me is that you just found those routines, those rituals that you must do, your non-negotiables, right? I mean, we're going to get into that a little bit later in the toolbox, like some of your non-negotiables. So probably some of the things on that 17 list. But I think that's important that people listening remember that when you struggle, you've got to find ways to get back to a routine that's healthy for you. And you did that. So people, I think this is a great transition. People in our lives help us learn these lessons, right? You talked about your mother and your father and the lessons that you took away from some of the things that they taught you. Who were some of the most influential people in your life till now in different capacities, sport, life, work, school, whatever? And just try and give some names and be brief about why.
I actually, it goes back to my parents. It's just my mom and dad. I think I'm going to work really hard, hopefully one day if I become a father, is just my dad was always really proactive. And no matter what happened, he would say he was proud of me. And this was interesting because I was so competitive. And there'd be times where I maybe didn't have the best game and I would lose. And I'd be so bummed. And he would say, you know, I'm proud of you. And I would always get confused, like, no, like I lost, you know, and I wouldn't say this, but I would think this in my head. He's like, you know, I'm really proud how you competed out there. And after a while, it felt good, you know, like no matter how hard I played, you know, or how bad the team lost, you know, my parents were proud of me and I can always go back to that. And a lot of times, especially professionally, you get pretty anxious because you feel, you know, it's either like you're good or you're bad. And it's weird. I was thinking about it, like in college too, like I never felt like pressure or anxiety because like, you know, you have like that support for like the friends and like my father when he would always say that. And then, you know, going back to that solution mindset with like my mom where she has first grade kids and like they're going to do crazy, stupid things, but she has to take a deep breath, not react, listen, and then have a response. Okay, here's the solution. Let's try this. And I mean, this has been so big because you know it too. Like when you're overseas, there's going to be a lot of terrible situations and there's two ways to go about it. There's the problem and you focus on it. You speak about it. You speak about it with other people. You hold on to it. Or there's a problem and you find a solution. You have to find a solution. Like that's all it comes down to. It doesn't matter who it is. Like there's going to be like crappy situations. Like you said, I'm maybe in the highest point of my career so far. I just got done playing World League, won a bronze medal, starting against Poland, winning the World Cup, and still having these difficult moments. But you just have to have that solution mindset. And then I had the big thing too for my father is just like, find a way. Like if there's a problem, just find a way. Like you can do it. Like push past the problem. So my mom and dad were big in my life with compassion, solution mindset, and just always being there to back me up and to ease my mind when I'm focusing too much is on the black and white, like winning and losing, good or bad.
I'd like to highlight this because I know, like, for instance, you're using your mom and dad, but there's so many coaches also along the way, so many teachers, I'm sure, so many friends and other people, but we're highlighting right now the most important, right? These people have shaped you, right? In terms of like your path, like been able to support you. And I'm sure there's some give and take. I'm sure that they learned something from you. I mean, imagine how far outside of your comfort zone you are, how far outside of your country you are, you know? So the people in our lives always take things from us also. And I think that that's important that we realize that this relationship is give and take. And I love how you said your father always said that he was proud of you because of your effort. And I think that's so important that we realize sometimes we have to be proud of ourselves for our effort. You know, we can't lose that. So in losses, there are huge lessons. Heather Bound was on the show, and you should hear that episode if you haven't. And she talked about there's winning and there's learning. There's no losing. It's just everything is learning. So you learn from the wins and you learn from the losses. But the way she looked at it is that's how it was. And mindset is everything. So always be proud of your efforts. Listen, I want to take it to something more positive. Let's take it to a highlight right now. So let's give me like a top two highlight of your life so far in terms of sport or life. What do you consider one of the things that you're proudest of? And why?
There's a couple. One will always be in my mind, and that was going into my senior year of high school, and I was at the Long Beach State volleyball camp with my friend, and I was getting into my car to go back home, take my buddy back home and get lunch, and my dad let me know that the coach at the time and the coach now, Alan Knipe, wanted me to walk on next year and be on the team. And I just always remember this because it was just like the most pure feeling ever of just, I don't know. It was just, it's not that I needed this, but it was just like such a great feeling to know that all the hard work has paid off. It just felt so great. And to be a part of something that, and be a part of a team I always looked up to. And so this was to be a 49er, was amazing. To play my last home game was amazing. I had I had a pretty nice game, and one of the digs I got ended up being a kill, and it was just it just felt great. It's just, I don't know, to do that, not so much for myself, but just to be there with all those guys one last time, because they built such a family environment over there.
Yeah. And I mean, you said you had a couple. Do you want to share another one?
Yeah. This summer in World League, I was able to go as a second libero. Eric Shoji got hurt, and I was able to play in the semis. We ended up losing to Serbia in 5, which is a bummer. But we bounced back the next day. Eric was still bummed up, and so I started, and we beat Poland in 3. And it was amazing.
How was that? Like, paint a picture for us. I mean, I want to know what that atmosphere was like, because, you know, obviously because we played together that I was with Team USA for a bit, but I never got to play that huge event, you know, at least not so far in my life. And I'm interested in hearing like what that felt like. Like, was it loud? I mean, was it crazy? What was it like?
It's like the biggest rush of adrenaline I've ever felt. It didn't feel real, because the gym is like 15,000 people, but when you're on the court, it was like a bubble, and like as soon as I like got on the court, it felt like the people I knew, but they were like larger in life. Like it was like almost like a video game or something. There's nothing even to compare it to. Like everyone was almost like glowing. Like the net was literally glowing. They're using the LED net. But I was lucky, but I took all that adrenaline instead of finding anxiety. I just found focus and just like every time I touched the ball, it just felt perfect. Like the noise it made, like the feeling on my skin, like the ball felt so warm. And there was a couple of plays too where it's just like I've never made any plays like that in my life, like jumping behind me, reaching out. I pancaked and did a roll at the same barrel roll at the same time. Like it just worked out perfectly. I took all that adrenaline and was able to dial it in. But it was the best feeling to be on the court with those guys and just to be in that bubble. It's difficult. This is nothing to compare it to, like the adrenaline rush that I was able to get in both those matches. Like, and then to see us win in that third set, it was a deuce game. And we came back, I think the score was 23-20, and we got 5 points in a row. And to realize that we won the bronze medal, and to see everyone rushing in to hug everyone and to get the medal, it's just unreal. I couldn't believe it. And so, I don't know, I'll try to hold on to that moment for a little longer. But it's just, I don't know, the adrenaline and the feeling of accomplishing something with your friends is just, I don't know, there's no better feeling for me.
Man, it makes me feel like I know how it was like to play my first USA match in the Pan Am Games and come in, and I just was so nervous, and it wasn't a crazy crowd or anything, and I was just like, why am I so nervous right now? This is insane. But you know, I wanted to wear that jersey with my name on it and Team USA, because it means so much to me to play for the national team, and I'm sure it's the same for you. And just being able to represent your country in that fashion is an incredible feeling. So I just remember coming on and I was so nervous. And then as soon as I took out I have a ritual for my service. So that's what we're about to talk about right now, are some of the things that lead us to success repetitively, hopefully more so than the other way, right? But as soon as I had that breath out, like I spin the ball and then I put it in my right hand and I always let a breath out, pretty long breath. And then I go into my serve. As soon as I did that, like I just felt okay. And I bombed a serve and it was an ace. And I was just remembering like, oh my God, I can't believe the first serve I made for USA was an ace. Like, this is rad. So I can understand what you're talking about when you're saying like you were doing things that you had never done before, right? Because you just elevated to the situation around you. And I think that's what's special about athletics, is that it challenges us and pushes us to this new level. And so what I want to talk about are rituals, habits, tools, like things that you do that you feel contribute to your success on not just a daily basis, but you know, continually throughout your career, season after season, because you've been building something great. And I know that you're not done. So what are some of the things, let's highlight like 2-3 things that you must do in order to keep yourself on that path?
I would say, I mean, for the younger kids, they always ask me a lot what's something they can do, because they're always looking for something. But I think the big thing is just to touch the ball, to play beach. Maybe my situation is a little exaggerated, where I taught my younger brother, hit the ball in the backyard, hit the ball inside, but just to play beach and always touch the ball. And as an adult, I come in early, get extra reps, stay late, get extra reps. Here from my professional team, we don't have the gym before or after. And so what I do is 30 minutes before, I do my warm up here, I stretch, I get going, I do some core. And then when I get to the gym, when everyone else is working out, I'm touching balls, I'm setting, I'll do a lot of pursue balls, stuff I want to work on. And so instead of letting the situation get the best of me, like trying to be proactive and getting those extra touches and continue to do more work each day and kind of outwork everyone else. Like I said, I've developed, after my second year overseas, I developed a list of things that I know at the end of the day, like mind, body, what I'm putting in my body, the sleep I'm getting, like all these things will will help me. And before I step on the court on Saturday, I know that I've prepared myself as much as possible. And so to have this list, and then most of it's just, you know, just doing a little something extra. It's always just finding a little extra, whether when I was young, working out, getting these touches, or now eating a clean whole foods, plant-based diet. I mean, for every day, you know, tracking, logging my sleep, meditation in the morning, meditation at night. I'm always rolling. I'm stretching 2-3 times a day. If not, you know, reading books about stretching. There's just always something else I'm trying to look to do to improve my mental, physical, or just making sure I'm happy overseas, because, you know, it can be very difficult and very lonely at times.
Very good point, man. It's a very good point. And here I am in Finland, someplace that I was before you, and now I am after you, and you know how it is. And I know you're in a darker, colder place in France, so I can understand. I would love for you to share some of the things. I mean, we're coming up on the end here. What are some of the things that you cannot not do? So you must do these things on a daily basis. So when you wake up, I want you to highlight during your day things that you must hit morning, afternoon, night.
Yeah. So my morning routine is pretty solid. I wake up, I make myself this apple cider vinegar tea. Do that. I have my tea. I meditate. Make a green smoothie, and then depending if I have practice or nothing at all, I usually will roll out a little bit, and that's just kind of the way to get me going. And then throughout the week, I'll always watch video on the team and try to read, and then at night meditate as well.
I think we've given people a nice overview, right? We know how Dustin Juan started off. We know where you struggled. We know who some of the most important people in your life are. I think that people listening just know that you're going to be able to find everything that we talked about plus a little extra on the blog post, the show notes. So if you're listening in iTunes, you're going to be able to click Dustin's photo, the cover art, and it'll flip over and it'll give you the show notes link. Just go to that link, check out all this stuff. Make sure you tweet out. There'll be tweetables, so quotes. There's already been some good stuff from you, Dirty. So I'm going to have those linked up. But before we give people a way to connect with you on your journey and say goodbye, I would just like to ask you one thing, because Beyond Athletic, you know the mission, right? It's to help athletes become more than just your average athlete. It's about empowering them with tools and habits and stories and a network of athletes that they can reach out to anytime. So like if they want to hit up Dustin Watton, they might be able to have that like courage, because Dustin Watton might have said, hey, hit me up. Just like Heather Bound came on the show, gave her email, you know, like, I mean, it's a silver medalist in the Olympics who's saying, contact me. I think that's powerful. And so I know what Beyond Athletic means to me, but I would like to know, after being on the show and after knowing some of the things that we've been doing after participating in Athlete Blab, what would you define as being Beyond Athletic?
Oh man, good question. Beyond Athletic, I don't know. It's funny to me because I've never been athletic, but it's just, I think it's just believing in something that's bigger than you, and then believing in yourself. And just believing that anything that you want, like, you can do it with work. It's not born inside you. And so it's believing in something bigger, believing in yourself, and then going after it and doing the work that's necessary. I mean, it's so easy to say that you want something, but to really have to go after it, to hit those failures and pop back up. It's just the belief, you know, you really have to believe. And then, once you have that, you have to do it with passion. There's no other way to do it. You have to give it everything you have, you know, and it can't just be for one day or for one week. You just have to keep on going.
Great stuff, man. And so before you give people some ways that they can connect with you on your journey, follow you, I know you've built an incredible following on Instagram and Twitter and all this stuff, because you're basically being you, you know, you're using your voice. And I think that your authenticity, it just comes across in everything you do. You're a very authentic person. I know that word gets thrown around a lot, but I just want to say that I want to acknowledge you, actually, for the hard worker that you are. A lot of people talk about hard work and put in the work and do what, you know, other people aren't doing. Today's episode releasing is with Russ Rose, and he talks about if you want to be the best, you've got to work when no one's looking. Yeah. You've got to be working. You've got to be putting it in. And so I think that you are one of the best examples, actually. In my 36 years on this planet, man, you are one of the top three workers that I've ever been around. And it was just always, you know, something to be grateful for when you would say, hey, Ryan, do you want to come in and serve with me, or, you know, serve pass with me? It made me feel like I had somebody who was aligned with my thinking and where I wanted to be. And I'm really grateful for that. And I'm glad to see you've grown so much in this sport, man. And I can't wait to see what's coming. So why don't you take it away, give people ways to connect with you, and any parting words of wisdom, for instance, thinking of your younger self in mind.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I want to acknowledge you too. And just thank you for your friendship, you know, since day one. I think you're right. We've always kind of been on the same level, and it's been fun to push with you and to hang out with you. And I'm really grateful of our friendship. So thank you. I do Instagram more than anything. I just got a Snapchat, but Instagram, I like to share. I like to, the big thing for me is helping. Like I said, my parents are teachers. And so the stuff I post, you know, it's not so much my personal life, but just different ways of, or different videos of me playing and how I can help younger players. Because when I was a younger player, I was always looking for ways to get better, but I had no one to connect to. I didn't really know. And becoming this older player, this professional, I've always wanted to give back. And so I post a lot of videos of different techniques, different works I do, different trainings, and then to try to give it to younger players to kind of leave a legacy and to help them grow. And to find that little Dustin or that little Ryan that all they want to do is just get better, but they don't really know where they are. So, I mean, there's tons of players like in Colorado, Indiana, that maybe they don't even have a boys team if they're a boy, you know? And so they're just looking, for someone. And, you know, I'm happy to be that guy. A lot of people direct message me, and I, assuming it's appropriate, I write everyone back. You know, I enjoy helping people out, especially overseas. I have a lot of free time. And so I enjoy it. I really enjoy, you know, meeting younger ballers that have a big passion for the game, and just to help them, push them on the path I know that will help them. So Instagram is a great way to connect with me, Facebook. And then I'm going to try to do a little more Snapchat now.
I like Snapchat. I actually have a Snapchat coming up, a challenge that I would love for you, now that I know you're about to make your debut or make it real serious. I want to do a Snapchat challenge of professional athletes and college athletes basically doing a day in their life, you know? So Snapchat all day long from the moment you wake up to the moment you're going to sleep. And then we'll take that, and we're going to be compiling a video trying to basically show athletes at a younger age, this is what, you know, could be next for you, since you're thinking about what's the next step. What does it look like? What does it feel like? You know, this, I think, would be a really cool challenge. So thank you for sharing that, brother. Thank you for coming on. And for everybody out there, I just want you to know, if you're looking for help, if you're looking for direction, I think this podcast is one of the best ways. You can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher. I'm going to be on SoundCloud soon. But basically, you can get these downloaded to any device, you know, whether it's your computer, your iPads, your phones, whatever. You can listen on the go whenever you want, when you're walking, when you're training. When I lift, I listen to podcasts. Different people do different things. I mean, my pre-game ritual does not include podcasts. Let's just say that. But when I'm lifting, I like to put information in my mind, you know, because that focus for me and that drive to get better is always important. So if you're looking to help, like Dustin, I know you want to be a part of Elite Sports Students, Elite Squared, the Beyond Athletic Project, which is just all geared to help athletes. Go to beyondathletic.com/help. If you're a student athlete and you're looking to connect with mentors like Dustin, like myself, like some of the other great guests that have been on the show, go to beyondathletic.com/ESS, which stands for Elite Sports Students. So thank you so much, Dustin.
Thank you, man. My pleasure.
Well, there you have it, another episode. Dustin Wan truly is one of those guys that goes beyond the definition of gym rat. I mean, his dedication, his focus, his interest in not only pursuing his dream, but helping others to pursue theirs is just incredible. I love the fact that this guy stays active on all channels that he can. I love that he always is working his butt off. I love his focus and drive. And if we learned anything today, it's that anything is possible. He works so long and so hard, kind of in the shadows of a bunch of great liberos that have come through USA Volleyball. And now he's just right there. So another 4 years, and I hope to see him playing in the Olympics. And until then, definitely look forward for more things from Dustin and I. We're going to be trying every few weeks to get on for 15, 20 minutes, talk about, for instance, his season in Poland. Now for his team, where he's going to be seriously challenged, and I think it's the perfect level for him. And just really talk about the ins and outs of professional life. The Snapchat challenge, if you're going to do it, make sure you go to beyondathletic.com/Snapchat. And when you do that, make sure you share it out. Put the hashtag up there, tag Dustin, tag myself. I'm Ryan J. Owens on social media. Dustin is Dustin, D-U-S-T-I-N. Watten, W-A-T-T-E-N. And thanks so much for listening. Make sure you share this out. Leave a rating and review in iTunes, whatever it is, good or bad. Tell me which episode you listened to and what you liked about it or thought could change. Or if you have questions, make sure you ask them in there. Thanks so much. Until next time.
The courts pleading my case from the witness box, telling the judge and the jury the same thing that I said to the cops on the day that I got arrested.
What are we doing live? Echoes in eternity.
I'm gonna show you how great I am.
And this concludes our Chicago show. Please stay tuned.